On to the regular agenda, item 6, communication from the city manager requesting a debt service assistance by the Harbor Department. Let's see, who's going to speak for staff on this? Ms. Frick, please. We always like volunteers.
I'll step up. Good afternoon, President, members of the commission. Today we're asking the board to approve a series of actions to assist the city in meeting its obligation to pay the debt service owed by the bonds issued to construct the Aquarium of the Pacific. Now, there are two components that we're asking the commission to do. One is the use of harbor revenue funds to pay the aquarium debt service, contingent upon an agreement between the redevelopment agency and the Harbor Department to reimburse the Harbor Department in the equivalent amount for public improvements using the additional North Project area tax increment generated by the Middle Harbor Project. That's the first component. The second component is a request to amend the present cooperation agreement, providing the repayment of the Harbor Department's remaining $27 million loan to the redevelopment agency, and this was for the 1993 construction of the convention center. Now, we are slightly amending our request related to this second action. We are asking the Harbor Department and the redevelopment agency to enter into an agreement for public improvements in the amount of $27 million using the West Project Area tax increment, the additional tax increment that would be generated by the Pier S project. We are, of course, asking the board to authorize the Harbor Department staff to enter into the appropriate agreements with the redevelopment agency. This will also require the approval of the City Council and the redevelopment agency, but the board is the first step in that process, so we're asking for that approval today. And I want to thank you very much for your collaboration and cooperation on this particular item. We've got a battery of staff here ready to answer any questions that you might have. And with that, I'll conclude the staff report.
Thank you very good. Thank you very much. That was a very good presentation, a very complicated set of issues. Is there a motion to start this discussion?
Motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Sure, I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded. At this point in time, questions from the commission are appropriate. Commissioners? Commissioner Wise?
Yeah, I'll start. First, I want to thank a lot of people in the city and on staff who have helped me over the last few days try to understand the issues that are involved in this. And I still have some questions, so I'm going to ask some of those now. And as the discussion goes on, I may have some other questions. First, it's my understanding that we're talking about we're basically going to secure these loans, if you would, by agreements with both the North Redevelopment Agency, which includes Middle Harbor, and if that's not sufficient, then the West Redevelopment Area, which includes Pier S. And we have a memo from last December that I think Carl's office, real estate, prepared, which gave us some projections about the likely increment from Middle Harbor. And as I read that, first of all, the life of the North Project Area, which includes Middle Harbor, goes till 2041 or something like that. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm going to have Craig Beck come up, who is the...
Okay.
Good evening, Harbor Commission. There's basically two dates that you need to be concerned about. The first date
Craig, identify yourself.
I'm sorry. My name is Craig Beck. I'm the executive director of the Long Beach Redevelopment Agency.
Thank you.
And in particular, there's two dates that you need to be concerned about. The first date is the ability to incur new debt. And for the North Project Area, that is July of 2016. And the actual project termination date is July 2027. So everything that's being contemplated here this afternoon is within those applicable time frames.
I'm sorry, what are those dates again?
20.
What do they stand for? What's 2016?
2016 is the agency's date, which allows we can incur debt up until that date. So we can sell bonds, we can enter into loan agreements, we can enter into MOUs for reimbursements.
Okay.
But after that date, we are not allowed to incur any new debt in that project area. The project termination date ceases all redevelopment activity within that project area. However, we are still allowed to collect tax increment to pay any debts that are on the books that haven't yet been completely paid, if that makes sense.
And what was the 2027 date?
That's the project termination date. So, for example, in 2027, the redevelopment agency would not meet and have any discussions about any new projects in the North Project area because that activity would terminate.
Okay. Well,
I'm sure you'll all be here to voice your objections at the time.
Yeah. well, what I'm what I was trying to determine was the life of each of these project areas and the likely increment that would be earned, achieved, or whatever over that life. Because as I understand this transaction, that is what is more or less the security for the loans that we would be making. And the information I have is a memo dated December 2, 2008 from Carl Adamowicz, the director of real estate here, and it has a statement in it that the remaining life of North Long Beach Redevelopment Project Area, and it says fiscal year 2041-2042, it says the development of Middle Harbor will generate a present value amount of $29,767,000 to the redevelopment agency and $14 million to the low and moderate income housing fund. So I was looking for confirmation that that was accurate, and then I wanted comparable information for the redevelopment area that includes Pier S, since we learned that that's not part of North.
Well, Commissioner Weiss, I think the best approach to your question is let's talk about the amount that is actually under consideration this afternoon. And the primary amount that would be connected to the North Project area is about $8.1 or $8.2 million. So I think the first question should be, do we believe that the Middle Harbor project will generate sufficient revenue to cover that cost? And I think with the information that you have before you, it concludes that the Middle Harbor project will generate sufficient revenue to cover that cost. I think secondarily what we've been talking about with port staff is the concept that if for some unknown reason, and I don't think anyone believes that that's likely as we sit today, but if for some unknown reason the Middle Harbor project does not move forward, would the agency be in a position to cover those costs with its existing unobligated tax increment? And I'm here today to say yes, that we would work with the port to identify specific public improvement projects up to that $8 million or $8.1 million number that's under consideration today to ensure that you recoup those costs. And we really feel that it's an important partnership because I think we have similar interests in mind, where the Harbor Department is trying to push forward commerce and the agency in a similar fashion with redevelopment projects to improve the surroundings and make commerce attractive within the city.
Let me just say, I completely agree with you that we have a lot in common and a lot of common interests. So that's that. There's no debate there. I'm just trying to get some facts. So I guess my question is, and maybe I didn't understand the amendment to the plan, but that was made today. That's a little different than what was presented to us. But I'm still wondering what the information is about the likely increment from Pier S and the remaining life on that area.
And I don't have those answers for you this afternoon. I think what we would want to do is work closely with Harbor Department staff to generate some of those revenue numbers that we believe will come from the Pier S project. That 2015 number that I put out there, we would need to ensure that we enter into an agreement somewhere before 2015, and I I fully believe that that's doable. In fact, I believe we could get something in place by the end of this fiscal year.
Okay. My understanding was that there was some information that came out, and I'm not sure who's here to validate it, but that even after the life of the project area is over, that the area, that the agency can still continue to pay its debt.
That is correct. So the deadlines that I were talking about, if there's still debt on the books at that project termination date, there is still a period of time that you can collect increment to make those debt payments. You can't spend money on anything else just to cover those debt payments that may be on the
book.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. And the time that repayment would start would be when the increment is actually starts to be realized. Is that correct?
Yeah, what we're proposing this afternoon is that it would be once the incremental difference or that additional revenue that comes from these particular projects. I think we talked generally about a five-year time frame. I think staff fully believes that the project will be under construction within that time and then ultimately be generating some revenue.
Another question I had is, I think, probably better answered by harbor staff, but I'll take answers from anybody that can give them. I wanted to know whether or not this would affect the harbor's bonding capabilities in any way.
Commissioner, I think either Sam John Blott or Steve Rubin might be better able to answer that question. Sam, I don't know if you want to give it a stab and talk about our bond rating and what the rating agencies look at in terms of minimum annual guarantees and those kind of things.
Sure, I would be happy to. Bond rating agencies look at the overall picture and look at what are our commitments. So if we do have any outstanding commitment to that would reduce our income going forward, that will be taken into consideration. So that may affect the bond rating. From a coverage ratio, I don't think it will affect our coverage ratio because that's mostly operating income, operating revenue. So it will have an impact. I'm not sure exactly what the impact will be, but it will have an impact.
Well, the flip side of that, however, I think you need to take into consideration that the $27 million debt for the convention center, which is outstanding, this will basically provide us a way to recover that amount, and we will be using public improvements that serve the Pier S project, and we'll be substituting those for the necessity of actually going in separate floating separate bond issues or adding that to a larger bond issue. So that's a $27 million at this point in time net benefit, because that $27 million is already counted on our books as a receivable that we haven't received.
Am I right, Sam? That's correct, President. And what we have discussed with the city is to make sure in discussing with the outside auditors, with KPMG, that this receivable is strong enough to substitute for the existing receivable and to validate that transaction with KPMG, our outside auditors, so that there will be no question asked when it's time to do our financial audits.
And the existing agreement that would have that $27 million paid back from the TOT, the transient occupancy tax, that agreement will go by the wayside and be replaced by this one. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And my understanding is that these numbers are not in our budget at the present time, either 2009 or 2010, right?
That's my understanding. Correct.
Okay. I probably will have some more questions as the discussion goes on, but I did want to note, too, that we did get a memo from the city attorney's office regarding the propriety of our entering into these transactions, and that's important to me in my decision-making here today, that's for sure.
You have received that?
I have received it, yes. It was attached to some of the documents that were emailed.
Other questions of the commissioners? Commissioner Walter?
Well, I was going to thank Ms. Frick for coming. Maybe she'd like to come back to the stand here. As you know, I tried to call you this morning, but you were not able to call me. We couldn't connect. Anyway, as most people know, I always encourage a strong partnership between the port and the city, and we need to work together, plan together, things like that. And I know that you personally support that, and our mayor certainly supports that and has been our leader on all of our efforts in the Clean Air Action Plan, all of that. He's been right there with us all the way, and this has worked very, very well. So I'm encouraged that things hopefully will continue to work well. And I'd like to point out that I have several comments. I have a lot of questions. I won't ask all of them today, but my comments are in an analytical in nature. I'm not trying to be critical. That's just not my modus operandi. I never do that. But look, normally the board votes on proposals that are suggested by the staff, and the proposals are considered carefully by the staff and the recommend. And whenever there are alternatives, they are structured so that the board understands the magnitude, the risk, the rewards, et cetera. And I'm just wondering, have we received a report from our executive director? I mean, normally all we get is through the staff recommendations, structuring alternatives when necessary, and we then can pretty much follow to what should be done, make a decision. In this case, I'm not sure that we have an input from our executive director, who's the one person who reports to us. He's the only one. We go through him, hold him accountable for, or praise him, and most of the time it's praise, of course. But anyway, I don't think we've had.
Well, Commissioner, this came at the request of the city manager to put on the agenda. I think there's been briefings and discussion with the board members, and so it did not have a separate and distinct recommendation from me, but is presented to the board as represented by the city manager, with input from the board and questions and answers given to the city manager over the last week or so.
I think it's important to put this in context. The context is that under ordinary circumstances, our executive director advises us on business pertaining to the Harbor Department of the City of Long Beach, which is the purview of the commission. This is a horse of a different color. This is about patriotism and apple pie. It's not about the business of the port. It's whether we are all part of one city. And I think the question, the salient questions for the commission here are two, really. Are there reasonable expectations that we will be repaid pursuant to the methodology that's been set forth? And secondly, is there now a reasonable expectation that we will be repaid from the funds that we advanced for the construction of the convention center back in 1993? And those are really questions that are technical in nature, and that's why Ms. Frick and Mr. Beck are here today to try to provide, and previously the city attorney's office, to try to provide those answers and give you whatever comfort level is available. I think that's it. But it's not port business per se. It's really city business. And I think that's why we haven't gotten a recommendation from our executive director.
Well, I hope in the future we can get some recommendations from them. I think the big question, you know, is why all this reshuffling of the aquarium's debt has to be done so quickly. This is so fast, it appears almost like a panic. It's late in the budget year. City manager wants action on this as quickly as possible. And I think when the city manager wants to rush through a debt transfer to claim that it will solve the debt problem of the aquarium, and I think that's probably right, even if it means creating new and different problems. And that, Mr. President, could create new and different problems. I suggest that the proposal to help the aquarium is truly the triumph of hope over financial experience. I'd like to make sure that we get this right, and I'm sure you do too. When the city moves so rapidly in the past, what's been the result? And I'd say that this proposal is another loan to the redevelopment agency And it's like the convention center. The port loaned $90 million, and as I understand it, the city paid back $33 million. Port forgave $30 million of that, and the city still owes, as Mr. Anquist said, $27 million. So what is the expectation? I agree completely with President Hankler that the expectation is that this will all go forward and everything will work out wonderful, and that clearly is something that we want and that we expect. It's a solid agreement. Everyone in the past, just as today, are people of goodwill, great generosity of spirit, and they mean well. And I don't know. It makes me wonder if the convention center was rushed through at that time. I don't know. I wasn't here at the time. So when we make an agreement now, what will happen in the future? And we really don't know that. That's why I'd like to see a little more time on that. But I guess we're not going to do that. I'd like to ask, you know, who takes the risk in this loan arrangement? Who takes the risk?
Well, I think we both do. Both the city and the port are taking somewhat of a risk in trusting one another. As far as the redevelopment agency paying off the debt reimbursing the port, and then, of course, the port kind of securing and giving the payments back to the city. So, you know, there's a matter of trust here that we're all going to kind of take that leap, but I think the history of the city and the harbor working together, I think, is what we need to look to assure us that, in fact, this will be a reasonable agreement.
Yes, I think we all can work together in the right spirit of cooperation, and we're all working for the city and all that. But in terms of risk now, does the redevelopment agency take a risk?
Well, they are, I guess you might say, they are risking that, in fact, they will have the revenue to cover it, and if not, then they'll be using other increment that may not be generated by Pier S or the Middle Harbor to support that. And we do know, in fact, that increment does exist.
But it would appear to me that there's none of their, say, general money, I don't mean general fund, just general money, that collecting at risk, that any payment is the result of what is done at the port.
Well, actually, yes. They are backstopping these payments with their other increment financing. So, in fact, there is a risk that they're taking that they will use other increment dollars coming either from north or from west to fund this issue.
So if we don't move forward with certain things here, you're telling me that the redevelopment agency then would pay the loan back?
I think what we're saying is that if, in fact, the increment that's generated by Middle Harbor and Pier S are insufficient to cover this particular debt, then, in fact, there may be other increment that's identified to cover it.
Okay. Well, maybe after our meeting you could explain where in the letter that's there, because that's the words I want to hear. That's good, because I know the port takes a big risk here. The aquarium doesn't take any risk, and I just don't see that the redevelopment agency does, but I'm perfectly willing to think about that. I did want to ask, too, what are the opportunity costs to the port for these loans?
I'm not understanding the question.
Well, we don't receive any interest payment for the any loan that we make. Right?
That's correct.
We've seen it, right. Okay. So there's some opportunity cost there that if that money was invested, we would earn something on it. So I'm just wondering if anybody tried to calculate any of these opportunity costs.
Well, okay.
Hi, I'm Lorianne Farrell, the city's finance director. How are
you? Hey, welcome. Glad to have you here today.
A couple of things on the opportunity cost question. One is currently the RDA TOT that was being pledged to actually finance the aquarium bonds, to pay the debt service on the bonds, that was being passed through, not paying off the convention center debt, so it wasn't earning interest currently towards the convention center debt anyway. So the convention center debt agreement with the city and the RDA and the harbor didn't have an interest-bearing function to it to begin with. So we're assuming that would continue. There would not be an interest-bearing calculation. Also, at current interest rates, at about 25 basis points in terms of the Fed funds rate, there's not an enormous amount of interest at this time, which from our standpoint is actually a very good time for us to enter into this agreement together, because you're not losing a lot of money that you could have otherwise have been earning either in the investment portfolio or any other instrument because of the very low interest rates we're experiencing right now.
Well, I certainly agree with you that the interest rates are so low now that there's not much of a loss, but this will extend over a number of years, and I would just like to perhaps see that considered. Let me also ask then, what do we expect to happen in 2010, 2011 with the aquarium, for example? There's nothing in here that we go out through 2009, 2010, and 2010, 2011, I guess, and then I don't know exactly what happens.
As you know, that this is the commission will be making that decision on an annual basis as to whether or not you will continue to make that payment. So each year you will be deciding whether or not you have the funds sufficient to cover that payment.
Hmm. Will the port have any supervisory control whatsoever over the management or operation of the aquarium?
No, I don't believe so.
Exactly where I came out on that. Is there any oversight authority whatsoever?
For the management of the aquarium?
Right. I think there is none.
Well, there's a board of directors that overseeing overseeing the management, and there's a finance committee that looks at the budget. Also, the city is actively engaged in reviewing the aquarium's budget on an annual basis, and so there is that level of oversight that exists.
But there's nothing like veto power or anything like that, is there?
Well, as part of the city's review of the budget, in fact, we actively interact with the aquarium as far as what we believe is acceptable, what we think may not be acceptable. So there is a active involvement and engagement that occurs.
Okay. I'd like to ask some questions directly off of the proposal here, if we could turn to that. First of all, I'm not familiar with the city's XC fund. Is that the Redevelopment Agency fund? What fund is this?
XC is just internal terminology that we use to describe our citywide fund.
That's why I haven't heard of it. Okay.
It's just a clearinghouse from where all the debt service payments are made.
That's where what? Say that again?
It functions as a clearinghouse from which all of our debt service payments are made throughout the city for our bonded debt.
Oh, okay, fine. I understand. Thank you. Then in two, Ms. Frick, it says the agency will reimburse the Harbor Department. The word reimburse always bothers me because this is not a repayment. There is a major difference between reimbursement and repayment. And I just, I'd rather see that word be repayment.
Well, I think the intent of the word and the reason that we put reimburse is simply because of the mechanism on how the Redevelopment Agency will pay the port. And the Redevelopment Agency will be paying the port for work that it does on public improvements. So this isn't a direct loan repayment. This is a repayment, if you will, of costs that the port incurs on public improvements. So if in the Middle Harbor project you spend $10 million to construct a public street, Redevelopment Agency would then reimburse the port for that cost. And that's the mechanism in which we are repaying this debt.
Would you have an objection if that was repayment instead of reimbursement?
I think that would be a legal question, sir.
Okay. I think that would be a good one to – let me just ask you while you're here how that
– Let's do one question at a time.
Okay, fine.
Heather, would you care to deal with the repayment versus reimbursement?
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm Heather Mahood, Assistant City Attorney. The only way the agency can send money to you is reimbursement or advancing funds. We can't repay a loan to the harbor just because we enter into a loan. Our mechanism for assisting in this deal is to reimburse for public improvements, because that's the way redevelopment allows us to spend money. So that's why the word reimburse has to be in there.
Okay, so it has to be there. All right. Yes. Well, thank you very much for coming, and thank you for joining us today. I have one question on the mechanics and of how this might – the port invests money, and then there's a tax increment because the value is higher after the investments. And I'm just wondering how this is going to work. We'll have to go through a year. And then at the year, we summarize what that increment is. Well, actually, we'd summarize the improvements and what that means to our customers. And then you or the city some way would calculate that delta in the tax increment there, and then we would have to submit the final forms on and all of that. I just don't want this to get bogged down so that, you know, and then it's another 6 months to get everything together. I'd just like to see this move along properly, because I don't want this delayed years and years. And I'm sure you mean that. I'd just like to have you say, yes, that that's the intention, to move properly and keep that up.
Yes, I can assure you that it's in both of our interests to eliminate as much paperwork as possible to get the payments made expeditiously.
As promptly as, yes. Yeah, as reasonable. Okay?
Yes.
Okay, good. On page two, the Pier S project, that's 2A, I guess, where the $27 million is discussed. Now, what that is, it's moving the $27 million from the transit occupancy tax to the additional increment tax. That's fine. I understand that, I think. Now, on B, B says the project within 5 years. Does that mean that there's essentially a five-year freebie in the any of the reimbursement, or what's that?
Commissioner Walter, the five-year term is really what came out of our discussions, the port and agency and city staff, because we believe it's going to be 5 years until this project gets underway and starts generating that incremental growth. So in a sense, yes, there is a hold period, I think is a good terminology, until that generation of capital or tax increment accrues.
So on part of our money, we wouldn't get anything for the 5 years there.
And I guess maybe part of your question is, are we in purposely trying to wait 5 years? So let's say tomorrow you break ground on Pier S project, and in year two you're generating tax increment. Certainly it can occur more quickly. I think the five-year time frame was to give the port an opportunity to move forward with its improvement plan and actually break ground and start construction, which would ultimately result in an increased land value and thus new tax increment revenue.
Okay. Thank you very much. I understand what you said. There's another word that bothers me. Maybe you're the one to answer it or not. I'm not sure on that. But it says the debt instead will be repaid from any unobligated legally available. Unobligated, I'd surely like to see that change to any available funds rather than unobligated. What bothers me about unobligated funds is that this puts the port in a bad position, could be for many, many years. It all depends. But all the city has to do is to obligate the dollars to something else. And the city keeps obligating, port never gets paid. So that's a concern. I know you mean well. I know you're very good people. And everyone in the city is here. But where it's unobligated here, that's kind of a bother to me. Can that word be changed to any available funds?
Well, I think the intent, Commissioner, is that the agency has debts that would supersede this one. For example, our tax allocation bonds, our housing set-aside requirements, our 2090 pass-through requirements. All of those debts would be senior to anything that we're discussing this afternoon. And so the intent of that word is that the agency knows, as we stand today, that we have those obligations, that we will have those obligations in the future, and that our revenue's first call must go towards those obligations. So,
yes, that was what I was expecting as the answer. And see, I'm concerned that the port loan is not a higher priority. Maybe that's nothing you or I can do about, but I'd certainly like to see it. I'd like to see it as a priority loan and not subordinated loan. And this is subordinated to all the other loans, isn't that right?
It's subordinated to those items that I mentioned, which is our pass-through payments, which are required, our housing set-aside, which is required, and then our TAB, our tax allocation bonds, has first call after those two. But even with all that, even with all those obligations, I think if you look, and I would be more than willing to spend some time and walk through our North Project Area budget with you, but we certainly have the capacity to address the amount that we're talking about here this afternoon, even with those debts that are on the books as we stand today.
Well, I appreciate that very much, and I guess that would be a good thing to do. Look, I'm going to vote in favor of this motion, but I would like to make the point that I deal in finance a lot with very good people, mm-hmm. and if we had a trustee responsible for investing our money and the trustee came up with this proposal, I'd question his fiduciary competence. I'll vote in favor of it, but I think we could do a better job in the future. It's certainly my expectation that we'll work together in the future and you know, move everything along. We want to help the city, absolutely. No question of that.
Vice President Ceramic.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Craig, while you're up there. Back to these numbers in that NORTHPAC has till 2016 to incur debt, and the project termination date is 2027. What do those dates mean from the time it started? How do you get to 2016? I'm just curious what that means and how.
Yeah, Commissioner, I thank you for bringing that up because I think it really does confuse a lot of people. Under redevelopment tax increment law, you actually have to have a debt on the books before you can collect that tax increment from the county. So through the project area life, you're constantly creating debt and then receiving increment to pay that debt off. Mm-hmm. What the county has essentially said, or the state has said in California redevelopment law, is you're only allowed to do that up until a certain point. And so the point, that date of 2016, means that we're not allowed to incur any new debt. So in essence, you have to almost stop obligating the agency for future costs, if you will. If that makes sense. So
yeah.
that first date of 2016 essentially says you cannot incur any new debt after that date.
Okay. How does that relate to Westpac, and when was Westpac's last date to incur debt?
So
and tax increment.
Each project area is a little bit different, not to confuse things anymore.
Okay, that's why I wanted because it. That really confused me when that happened. Then where we are with Westpac, I want to understand.
Yeah, the West Industrial Project area was actually adopted many years ago, and since its adoption, the rules have changed tremendously. And so, for example, the North Project area operates under much different rules than the West Project area. And so the date that you need to be concerned about in the West Project area is that 2015. So in July 2015, we will not be able to incur any new debt. We will not be able to move forward in any new redevelopment activities. So in the case of what we're discussing here this afternoon, it's the same type of date.
Okay, when does Westpac end their termination?
Westpac will basically end July 1st, 2015.
Okay. I'm just trying to get all that straight. I got more questions, but I'm just trying to, in my own mind,
Mr. Cordero.
Understand that.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Clearly, this involves rather intricate analysis and assessments that, of course, in my opinion, you know, we have received, thankfully, the staff and to your office and the city attorney's office, the relevant memorandums with regard to some of these questions. And let me just say, from my perspective, there's two fundamental issues. Issue number one is whether this transaction that we're talking about involves a payment that's consistent with the restrictions of such funds with the Tidelands Trust and the city charter. Issue number two is whether there's a reasonable expectation of repayment or reimbursement. And the latter question, of course, I believe involves more of a fiduciary responsibility on our part to make sure those reasonable expectations are there. So in answering those two questions, I favor the motion because, number one, it is within the confines of the State Tidelands Trust and City Charter in terms of what we can or cannot do as a harbor department. I think Commissioner Weiss made reference to that in her question to the city attorney. And number two, setting aside the figures and timetables and all the other discussions, considering all that, I do believe there's a reasonable expectation of repayment. So those, I think, are the two central issues to address at the end of the day. Now, I will make one last comment with regard to the whole question of how this really, when you look at it, reaffirms where this commission, this department has gone in the last couple of years, and that is the whole question about city-port relationship, a partnership. The whole question about what is the responsibility of a public port, and does that responsibility go more than just in the immediate harbor district as opposed to some of the issues that we have addressed, and the ideal one is the environmental aspect. As you know, a couple of years ago, we dealt with cutting-edge questions in terms of what we could or could not do. So I think this is, at the end of the day, another example of how this really affirms what the city is about today and what the Port and Harbor Department are about today. And it is about a partnership. And I think, admittedly, again, it's a rather intricate transaction here. I wouldn't say, for my part, it's a last-minute assessment or presentation or issue that's come to us. In fact, it was part of the mayor's budget recommendations. So we knew back then that these are some of the questions we need to address several months ago that were presented to us in terms of how we were going to move forward with this. So in conclusion, let me just say that I think those two questions are very key, which is the legal issue, as Commissioner Weiss raised. Is this transaction able to be done within the confines of the Tidelands and city charter? And the answer to that question is in the affirmative, yes. And number two, aside from the legitimate and genuine question that has been posed, at the end of the day, do we have an expectation of repayment that's reasonable, that's part of our fiduciary responsibility to address? And the answer to that question, in my mind, is yes. So I think that with that, those are the comments I have in regard to this. And like I said, it sheds a new light with regard to partnerships of a city within the port or a port within the city. However you want to look at that, this is what we have. And this is what I've always supported.
Thank you, Commissioner Cordero. I believe Vice President Ceramic has a couple more comments or questions.
Yeah. Ms. Frick, it's for you.
Yes.
You made a comment early on that, and the way I interpret it is that you will be coming back with this request again next year for on the aquarium. And that's the first I've heard of that, because I think our concern is something that's ongoing versus a one-time, you know, working with the city and helping the city out, and the expectation that's just going to be an ongoing payment that we're going to have to help make every year. So I just want to tell you that's a real concern of mine. I want to make sure that that's what you said, because
Commissioner, if I might, sorry to interrupt, but I know that was in one of the early
right, and that's why this is the first I've heard of it.
And staff struck that because we felt very uncomfortable with any language that would even intimate or discuss anything other than the initial request at hand. So,
and that's why I want it, because it concerns me that someone starts the expectation that, gee, this is going to be every year we're going to just have to make this payment.
Well, if I might just make a comment. In the event that this process works like it's intended, and basically we are able to recover or be reimbursed in order to make the if it's working like it's supposed to work, it should be no trouble for the commission to make that finding. If it isn't, however, you're at liberty not to do it. And I think therein lies the genius of this particular process. I don't think there's any question about the fact that this is not something that is usual and ordinary in the course of business for the Harbor Department or the Harbor Commission. The mayor in his budget transmittal clearly said he asked us to do two things. He asked us to look at helping out with the aquarium debt. He asked us to look at how we might forgive the convention center debt. Now, what we've done is we've gone back and negotiated a situation where basically there wasn't much prospect that we were going to ever get paid back that $27 million. I think there's an excellent prospect under this particular agreement that we will recover that $27 million in important public improvements in the Pier S area. And so basically all I'm seeing here is that there is a probability that this question will be before you again, and at that point in time you have to make a judgment as to whether or not it worked. If it worked, it's no harm, no foul. If it's not working, you get to say no. And that's, I think, where we are at this point in time. Commissioner Schramm, do you have other questions?
No.
Commissioner Wise?
Not now.
Commissioner Cordero?
Public.
And Commissioner Walter?
Yep.
Is there anyone in the audience who would care to address this item? The chair is pleased to recognize the vice mayor from the North Long Beach 9th District.
And I am here not as the vice mayor, but a resident of the 9th District and the North Project Area Committee. I'm quite concerned about what happens should the Middle Harbor fall flat. Should you have to write leases that diminish the value of the Middle Harbor because of good movements effect on this port, that eventually at risk, Mr. Walter, will be the North Long Beach people. It'll suck the life out of the improvements of North Long Beach. It'll suck the breath out of us. Because ultimately we'll have to pay that should the Middle Harbor fail, should the Middle Harbor have leases that are written as we saw at the beginning of redevelopment in 96, 97, where leases were written to pull in business and there was no tax increment in order to benefit the North Long Beach area. So ultimately, the citizens of North Long Beach, my home, and tax increments my home, could be the risk in this setup that we're talking about doing. I haven't looked at it. I haven't seen the whole thing, but listening to what's happening here today, I see it also impeding the possibility of us trying to create new bonds in the North area because we have this looming debt out of here. There's a whole bunch of things that could affect the North Long Beach community in doing this the way it's set up from what I've heard here today. And we're going to have to look at this and see how it's going to affect North Long Beach and the redevelopment and the great growth that we've had in North Long Beach in the last 10 years or so. So I'm concerned about that.
Mr. Vice Mayor, let me tell you that North Long Beach is not only sustained but thrust forward on the strength of the Port of Long Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope to be able to provide that service for many years to come. Are there any other comments from the audience? None appearing. It's been moved and seconded that this item be approved. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Ayes have it.